This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen, alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a franchise that has never had sustained success, and there have been many times where a lot of us thought that it was going to be the beginning of sustained success. Most recently, after the 2022 season, going into 2023, and we saw how that worked out. So after giving it some thought, now I like the Mets roster, I like their team, I have high hopes for this Mets team, but they actually got to go out there and do it. And you give it some thought, what are we basing this off of? Okay, the acquisition of Soto, that's great. It's one player. Juan Soto's been on losing teams before with the Padres specifically. Wasn't able to win the World Series with the Yankees last year. It's not a knock on him. It's just the reality that just because you add Soto doesn't mean you're going to be a World Series winner. And more importantly, last year, who's to say that that wasn't a one-off? The way that the Mets patched it together with their rotation, where a lot of us thought it wasn't going to be good enough. Stearns was proven right. For a year, they're trying to do the same thing again this year. The magic that the Mets had to make the postseason barely, then the Alonso home run saving the Brewers series, which led to them beating the Phillies. A lot of it, now it was great. Nobody's taken away from what they accomplished last year, but it wasn't like they went out there and dominated with a 98-win season and you feel like, okay, this team's coming, this team's on the rise. They need to show it before I buy in and believe that this is the beginning or the middle of the sustained success that we're hoping that the Mets finally have.
I get it, but it does feel a little different, and it does look a little different, sounds a little different. It's run very different. That's why it looks different. So I get it. You know, there's a leap of faith with certain fan bases that you just have to take, like when the Knicks are trying to get off the ground. Okay, Leon Rose, blind faith, come doing something different, come save us. You know, when Stick Michael rebuilt the Yankees with Stump Merrill and the young players, we know that story. You know, after a while, you're like, oh, okay, this team really is going to be this good. And now the blind faith turns into constant belief that the Yankees will be dominant. I think for a long time, Giant fans had blind faith in the Giants, in their ability to do things the right way. And that's been missing with the Mets for a long time. And I'll equivocate it very briefly to St. John's. I've said several times, hey, St. John's has had a couple of good teams this century. St. John's has never had a good program. And the reason Duke's a good program, Michigan State's a good program, Villanova outside of this year, like those are programs that constantly win because the infrastructure is such that they are in alignment, the school president, the AD, the coach, and it all works in unison. And why the Mets are beginning to feel like a good program to me is that they are now in alignment with the owner instead of the school president, the owner, and of course the GM and the manager and the star player and some other things that I've said a few times here. So I do believe that the Mets are going to be good. They are flawed. But I want to ask you, as we kind of go through this year, give me your, and I guess you could say World Series, but more so like regular season. Give me your ceiling and give me your floor for the Mets this year going in.
See, I think one of the reasons why I'm believing in this Mets team is I think the floor has been raised. Where last year I thought that if the floor was going to be 70-something wins and an atrocious season, and it was looking like that was going to be the case the first couple of months through, I don't see this team being a team that loses or wins fewer than 85 games, something like that. Mm-hmm. I think their floor is low 80s. Floor, low 80s. And that would take a lot to go wrong. Now, they are in a tough division, obviously a tough league with the National League. I think their ceiling is 100 wins. Now, that's everything going right. Holmes, all the pitching there, the lab, it works out. They get Manaea back healthy. Diaz, no issues with the velo. Soto, Alonso, Nimmo, Vientos all take off.
Alvarez.
I believe, yeah, he comes back and is a difference maker.
Yep.
I believe they have the pieces in place to be a team that can win 100-plus games. and maybe that's somewhere in the middle. But the floor to me has been raised. And that's the most encouraging thing about this franchise.
And I think that that's the point. I think that now, as you look for the years to start to mesh together, instead of remember 2015?
Yeah.
But then it kind of ends fast. I mean, like, or just kind of flames out. And again, I know I've used St. John's as an example a little bit, but I believe it's pertinent. Next year, going into the tournament or going into the season, St. John's will obviously be ranked. They've got good players coming back. They're going to crush the portal. And again, now you've got that engine, that momentum multiple years in a row. And I think the Mets are going in that direction. Now, St. John's could, instead of winning 31 games, they could win 24 and go further. The Mets could win 95 games next season and not go as far as they did a year ago, knocking on the doorstep to the World Series. There's a lot of variables, but I believe at least the skeleton, I truly believe this, and I've said this for a while, the skeleton for sustained success for the Mets, it's finally there.
And one of the reasons why I think that this is more believable than, let's say, the 15 to 16 years is because then they were relying heavily on pitching, which is so volatile.
And young pitching, too.
Now, and that proved to be the bugaboo, it is about that lineup. But there are still question marks. Let's not forget how bad the Mets were to start the year last year. It shouldn't have been that difficult to make the postseason, but it was. It shouldn't have been that difficult even in the postseason, but it was. It made it more fun. It was more dramatic because of that. But wouldn't you have preferred a 98-win season to easily get into the postseason or win the division and get a bye?
Yeah.
Mark Vientos, do we know for certain he's going to be what he was last year?
I feel pretty good about him. Yeah, I'm worried about him.
Me too, but we don't know. I use the Diamondbacks. Forget even the older Mets. And by the way, you could use the 06, 07, 08 Mets. That team was built on their lineup. It also faltered. Wright and Reyes, here they go. Mm-hmm. Mets are going to take over the town. Didn't work out. How about the Diamondbacks? 2 years ago.
That's a good example. Corbin Carroll, 80-something wins, low total, went far, got to the World Series. See, that's a good example.
And they missed the postseason
last year.
So who's to say that can't happen to the Mets this year?
I don't think, listen, it's not implausible, but I think if it were to happen, which I don't think it will, but if it did, it still wouldn't change my opinion that they're moving in a direction that's still foreign to them and elusive to them.
Yeah, I agree that no matter what the results of this year, it's still foundationally as good as it's ever been. However, at some point, you do actually have to make the postseason in consecutive years. Dare I say, 3 straight years, which has never happened in their history. We're in the infancy stages of Steve Cohen and David Stearns building this team to be a sustained, successful team. And before I just anoint them, which I've done incorrectly in years past, I kind of want to see it and just not just say blindly, hey, this is going to be a great team because I think that it should be. And there's reason why we say that. It's not just because we think, you know, the Mets went on their magical run last year. There's reason to believe that they could be a very good team. They have to actually go out there and do it. And even though a lot of us thought the Diamondbacks were going to do the same thing, you know, after the World Series birth, oh, here they come. That's life, man. That's sports. It's not a guarantee.
Do you think the criticisms get louder if they start real slow?
I do.
I think that that's a good sign that you're on the rise.
See, last year, remember, they by design lowered the expectations.
Yeah.
Under promise, over deliver. This year is different. And they did the right thing. You want to have the highest of expectations. From now on, meaning from like this season beyond, it should always be the highest of expectations. Doesn't mean every year they're going to be World Series favorites or realistically a team that people would pick to win the World Series. But in the conversation, just like the Yankees have been for the last 30-plus years, every year it's pretty much World Series or bust. Even if they can't win the World Series, still, you know, no doubt about it. Playoff team, the floor has been raised. That should be the case with the Mets. We just need to actually see it here. BT and Sal on the Fan. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Also, Brandon Nimmo's comments to Newsday talking about how the Mets want to have the respect on their name. They don't want to be the second team in this town. Those are good things to say. That's what they should be saying. Mets fans have been waiting a long time to have that type of attitude. I think it's a lot easier when you know you have Juan Soto on your club, where they should not play second fiddle to anybody, not the Yankees, not the Braves, not the Phillies. The difference is, again, they just have to go out there and prove it. And I do think that there is an overinflation because of the results of last year, meaning how far they went of what they actually were as a team last year.
It's funny because when we had Lindor on, what was that, about three weeks ago, roughly? So we asked Lindor the same question, and he's like, listen, I'm not really concerned with being the best team in town. I'm concerned with being the best team in baseball. Like I paraphrase, but that was definitely the gist of what he said. He kind of deflected on the Yankees, but actually made it bigger picture, which I thought was pretty good. Whereas Nimmo, I'm sure he's thinking the same thing. He wants to be the best in baseball, but he focused on the New York stuff and jumping past the Yankees. And I feel like you're more excited by what Nimmo said. Yeah. But in reality, if I'm you, I'd be more excited by what Lindor said.
I set Lindor up. He didn't know it, but I set him up.
I know you were trying to, but think about what he said, though.
But what I was trying to do is get him to say something that is going to have Met fans even more in love with him and really set the tone as the leader. And he took the political answer and took the easy way. I don't want to say the easy way. He answered his own way.
Yep.
And maybe that's what he believes. Nimmo, also a leader, just as much of a leader. Difference is Lindor's done it on the field by example. The guy's been, he should have been an all-star. He was almost an MVP. Nimmo hasn't done that. But Nimmo, also one of the leaders in the clubhouse, he said exactly what should be said. That's what fans want to hear. That's the right attitude that Nimmo said.
Now the Lindor stuff, he was fairly benign throughout the interview. Okay, and Nimmo with that quote, it's going to splash all digitally. It's going to pop, and you and I gave it some more time. I get it. But again, if you're thinking about the all-encompassing quest here, Lindor's more right than Nimmo. It's not about being better than the Yankees. It's about being better than everybody.
Understood. I think that is a given. Like, I'm pretty sure Brandon Nimmo would feel the same way, but maybe he was asked directly about it from Tim Healy, or he just felt the need to say, in this town, that is the focus here as well, where you don't want to be second fiddle to anybody. They're not, nationally, it's not like second fiddle to Atlanta or the Phillies, even though they may finish that way the majority of time, but in their own town, to be looked at as less than, where the Yankees, and rightfully so, have been the premier team. The Mets don't want to accept that anymore.
Well, I'll give you an example, and I understand why it resonates with you, and Met fans too, and I get it, really, but like when Rex Ryan was hired by the Jets, he could have said, hey, you know, I want to be the best team in football. Instead, he said, I'm not kissing Belichick's rings.
And how'd that make you feel?
It gets you fired up. I've been there. I get it. That's why I bring it up here. But the quest to jump past the Patriots, while that's the sizzle and that's the, all right, here we go, the reality of it is you want to be better than the best team in the NFC, too, because that means you win a championship. Listen, I like both. Now, I think Nimmo's is more fun. I think it's more juicy. I think it's probably more in line with what Met fans like right now. Yeah, like the hype man. All right, not a boy Nimmo. That's right. We don't want to be second behind the Yankees. Everybody knows that that's what the Met fans thinking anyway.
Right.
Because you just took Juan Soto from the Yankees. So you should say it. I'm just saying, I'm surprised the buzz. I guess I'm not really surprised. But I think there could be more parallel buzz. But I guess I understand why there wasn't. Lindor went for the big thing. Nimmo went for the spicy thing.
Lindor went for the safe thing.
Well, I don't think that. We disagree. Now, how is that safe? Because you're saying, I want to be better than everybody.
Because everybody's going to say, win the World Series. Yeah, we want to be a team that's going to win the World Series. We want to be a team that's going to win the division.
Yeah, but
we want to be better than everybody. No crap.
Yeah, I get that. But how many Mets have said that? Did David Wright? I'm not saying Wright didn't say it. Did Reyes? Mets haven't won since 86. Yeah. So when you say you want to be better than everybody, that's saying something.
I know, but it's a given. When you say that we will not accept being second-class citizens in our own town anymore, that to me is
Well, that's why I get
something.
The juicy part. I truly do. Yeah. I get it.
BT, it's just refreshing to see that. Now the hard part, you got to go out there and do it.
Crown's heavy, as I've said.
And guess what? If Nimmo's hurt, he's going to feel the heat.
Yes, he is.
If Nimmo doesn't have the all-star season that I expect him to have, he's going to feel the heat. Because you could talk big. At least Lindor went out there and backed it up with an MVP year. Nimmo's got to do his part. And if he does, then maybe the Mets can be a dominant team in Major League Baseball. Tyler is calling from Tom's River. What's up, Tyler?
What's up, guys? How are you?
Good. How are you?
What's up, buddy?
Good. Listen, first and foremost, I think all Mets fans can appreciate an active player finally acknowledging the fact that they want to be the team in New York, because it's been a long time. And be honest with you, I would have much rather Lindor to say it. He's a superstar. I wanted him to acknowledge it, but I guess it's okay that Nimmo did.
I mean, you got to take what you could get. But I gave Lindor multiple opportunities, followed up with him, and he just didn't want any part of that, which is fine. That's his personality. Nimmo took it head on. That, to me, is a leader.
I hear you. But, you know, you guys talked about Nimmo's comments. What about Lindor's comments about Lewis Luis Angel Acuna. I saw Anthony DeComo said something yesterday about it. I just wanted to hear your take.
What did he say?
There's something along the lines like he doesn't really try in spring training, and he doesn't seem like he cares. He plays boring. He plays bored. I kind of feel like that's not what we're trying to bring in.
Was it a knock, or was it more like the game comes very easy to him, like almost like a Robbie Cano thing? You know, two very different things. I'm not sure the context.
I don't have it in front of me, but regardless, I just feel like saying that in that context, he plays bored. He doesn't have that edge to him.
Well, that's not good.
Anthony DeComo said that yesterday.
That's my reaction.
I was just looking to hear your take on that.
That's the last thing. Now, we're gonna look it up, because I want to make sure we don't misrepresent the point here, because that we want to be fair. But if my captain, without the actual C, but the captain says that about somebody that I think can be a big piece of the puzzle moving forward, and he's saying that basically I'm not seeing enough energy or grit in spring training, I'm saying you're not a 10-year vet. You're trying to make the team, dude. You're trying to carve out some existence here. Hoff, do you have context there?
Yeah, I have the exact quote here from DeComo. I think he plays, and this is from Lindor, I think he plays bored in spring training. If the lights come on, then he's good. Last year in the minors, he was bored probably. He doesn't get amped up for it.
That's not good enough. He had 240 in the minors. I don't want to hear that. Not good enough for me.
I know, but there are some guys. First of all, it's inexcusable. You shouldn't be bored with it. It's your job. Go out there. Man, he looked good in the big leagues, but there are some guys, and Matt Harvey comes to mind, where maybe they do get bored in the minors thinking, man, I want to be up there in the show. I feel like I deserve to be in the show. The problem is, to get the opportunity to get there, you better be going balls to the wall in the minor leagues.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, whatever aspect of life that you're in, you always want more, right? Whatever job you, the listener, whatever job you have, you're thinking, man, I want this, and I want to get a raise, and I want to move up. Okay, well, that's great, but you have to work your rear end off to get that opportunity to get to the next step. Not just, well, I'm bored with this because I think I deserve better. It doesn't work like that. And if Lindor's saying that, you're right, BT, that better resonate. I like Luis Angel Acuna. I remember watching Matt Harvey in the minor league game with Buffalo, I think it was at the time. They put him on SN1. I'm like, man. This guy, this is a guy that they're hyping up. And then you watch him in the major leagues, his debut, and I'm like, who the hell is this guy?
Uh-huh.
This guy's a stud. So maybe that's the case with Acuna. That doesn't mean that it's okay. I'd like to see more of a work.
I mean, he had an OPS that was sub 700 last year. I mean, he had 260, 7 home runs. I mean, I saw some juice in his hands, too. I see some solid contact. When he barrels up the baseball, it's got a little loudness to it that I think jumps off the page, or at least off the TV set. I acknowledge there's some juice in his body. If there's an element of disinterest now, I don't know what that portends for the future. And I want to be fair to the young man, because I get it. I mean, doing your job could get a little repetitive, but I mean, you and I have been doing this forever. I'm not saying every show we do is an A+, but I'll tell you one thing you'll never get with the show is us taking it for granted, just hearing us mail things in and what's going on. Like, if anything, sometimes we're too passionate, too nuts, but that's because we care. I mean, for a young kid who's trying to carve out a professional baseball existence, I don't want to hear that it's not interesting or the lights aren't bright enough. That is not a compliment. That is a veteran saying, in my opinion, you better wake up a little here, buddy.
And maybe he'll get the notice when Brett Beatty gets the starting nod at second base, when he had an opportunity with McNeil being out, where a lot of us thought initially that it was going to be Acuna who gets that opportunity based off of what we saw last year. Which, if somebody were to say, what's the worst part of the job? That is one in that you really can't eat properly during a radio show.
No.
Because the breaks are, so you have to have a portion of it, which is not normal eating. When you eat, you sit down, you eat.
Mm-hmm.
You could take your time, sure, but you eat the whole meal, not eat a little bit of it for 3 minutes or 4 minutes, whatever the breaks are.
That's not my personality.
Work for 20 minutes.
No way.
And then take another break and eat 4 minutes of it.
I'm a fast eater. I got news for you. With some of these Lindor Cunhas, I'm going to be sneaking the last few bites here while we're hitting the phones. It was good.
It's Al, the fan, 888-808-1019. They're over to call. Keith is calling from Massachusetts. What's up, Keith?
Hello?
Yeah, what's up, Keith?
Hey, Keith.
How's it going? Yeah, you guys are talking about Lindor and Nimmo. The comments they made. I live in Massachusetts, but I'm a Yankee fan. But I think the example that I look at to go from when you have a superstar that goes to like a different status with his fan base was up here post bombing in the marathon when Poppy took the mic and dropped an F-bomb in front of everybody at Fenway.
Loved it.
He went from Hall of Famer, Red Sox legend to the Red Sox legend, like the living, breathing Ted Williams type deal.
Okay.
So if you have a superstar with edge, that's what every fan base really wants. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm a Yankee fan, but I never really, you know, fell in love with Jeter in that sense because he was kind of vanilla. You can even make the same case with Judge. As great as he is, you want a little bit more personality other than the crossing the T's, dotting the I's, minding the P's and Q's.
Same with Mike Trout. I agree with that.
By the way, it's why I love Soto. He may not say things with an edge. He does things
he's got
with
juice.
An edge.
Yeah, he's giving a straight. He's got juice.
Yep, in the box, staring people down, nod your head. That you get more of that from him than you do anybody else. I wish there was more of that went around baseball, period. All the best players right now, really, you look Shohei, Judge, they're just kind of nodding their head, going along, you know, reading the script and so on and so forth. You know, ideally, like the last Yankee to get cheered off the field other than Jeter was Paul O'Neill. He wasn't the captain. He wasn't an MVP. But he was an animal.
David Wells like that too. Was like that.
I love those guys.
Me too. But you know that those days are kind of over. I don't think it's funny.
There's more personality in the sport though.
I wish we had more of that though. You think that there's more now or less now? I think there's a lot less now.
I think there's more in that. You get to see these guys celebrate and bat flips and all that stuff.
Oh, okay, but that's different from revealing your true thoughts. I do agree. Like the celebrations are more. But I think one of the reasons why... Now, Danny Hurley's got to start to reel himself in a little bit here. I mean, he's...
I wanted to get to that. Let's get to that in a little bit.
Okay, but so I won't go too much on that.
Maybe next segment, yeah.
But just to go from him, like, he gets criticized because I think... And again, I think he deserves it sometimes, but we're so used to these vanilla quotes and these antiseptic presentations by, like Judge, like Shohei, like a lot, Mike Trout... I think when you get somebody, even Lindor is fairly PC with the answers he gave us.
But that's
you didn't like that.
I
didn't either. But I do think. I didn't dislike it like you. I just compared it to Nimmo. Yeah. I think that quotes are very different from like those celebrations. Like what NBA player tells you really outside of Draymond Green? What's really on his mind? And every time Draymond Green opens up his mouth, he gets hammered for it.
I don't think society wants it, which
stinks.
I think there's a happy medium. I think Lindor, in our particular case or example, when has Lindor even been on WFAN?
I believe that was the first time
okay,
with us.
Me too. I don't know.
I truly believe that.
And I'm not trying to say, look at us. I'm just saying, fan is, you know, WFAN is the barometer here in New York sports. You have the Mets star in Lindor coming on with us, the fan, and it's evolved to where social media and podcasts and all these different outlets and SNY, sure, so Lindor could have his message heard, but when was the last time he was interviewed like that by two fans and he had a chance to bond further with the fans? I don't even know if he knows. He certainly doesn't know who you or I are.
You don't know what's been fed to him over the years. I don't know if that's true.
Or like the impact of WFAN. Maybe he doesn't know. But that was a chance to put yourself in a different light on the airwaves of a radio station that the fans listen to.
Mm-hmm.
And if he would have said something like that about the Yankees, it would have been huge news. And I think it would have been in favor.
That's what we were hoping for. That's why we asked him.
Exactly right.
Of course.
I think it would have been in favor of Lindor. I think fans would have loved that.
I do too.
And he was measured and robotic about it, which is fine. That's his personality. You know, look, Mike Piazza never said anything that was inflammatory. Okay, so there you go.
If we had Jeter and we asked him the same question, he would have said the same thing, basically.
Now, he said more stuff about that in retirement, Jeter, where he's ripping the Mets openly and things like that. But here's the thing. I know the truth, and maybe Lindor's truth is different. Maybe Lindor doesn't really care about the Yankees versus the Mets. Maybe he doesn't. He just wants to go out there and square the ball up. Maybe that's it. I'm not sure I'm buying that. I buy more Nimmo, and what he's saying is being the truth, whereas I think a lot of these guys are coached to not say anything.
Yeah, I think that's part of it. I also think when you look at, you know, the first, whatever, 5 years with the Guardians coming up in a different minor league system, you know, Brandon Nimmo was drafted by the New York Mets. He was developed by the Mets. He came up, he got his first big contract and probably his last big contract with the Mets. And having been here from day one, you know, he's seen the comparisons to the Yankees. Brandon Nimmo feels Mets fans more than Lindor because he's lived it more. It's not a fault of Lindor. Yeah. It's almost impossible.
I know, but you'd think by now Lindor
adjust a little bit more.
You know, here's the other thing about the Lindor specifically. And by the way, Lindor said these comments about Acuna. Those are those are pretty, and maybe he didn't mean it as damning, and maybe this is why players don't want to say anything, because then you highlight those comments and say, oh, he's probably bored. Yeah. Everybody runs with that. Maybe it was somewhat out of context. Lindor, the first question that I asked him was about his relationship with the Mets fans, mm-hmm. which is right now as good as it's ever been.
Yeah.
That was supposed to be a positive thing, and he said it's always been like that, which is just not factually true.
Not true.
So he's either living in la-la land, he's ignoring the reality. I don't mm-hmm. know what was going on there, not to pick on him, because I love Lindor. I think he's a great player for this Mets team, and I think his number's going to be retired one day amongst Doc and Darryl and David Wright and Seaver and Kuzma Olsen and Keith. So I do think that he's going to have a great standing in the history of this franchise, but to not acknowledge something that we all know is reality,
yeah,
that there was a bit like, was that not his reality? That just shows me a little something different about his personality. And one more thing on this, BT, the fact that Nimmo would come out and say that, I like it, but I could see how some people would say, hey, Brandon, you haven't earned the right to say that, where Lindor as a player has, because he backed it up with his play. Nimmo as a leader has, but as far as his accomplishments on the field, Brandon Nimmo has not lived up to the potential or the contract yet. So that's the other aspect of this.
Yeah, but I don't think you always need, even though it's nice when it happens, even though it rarely happens, it's nice to have your best player who's also your most outspoken and, you know, a little unpredictable, you know, but it's very rare. I mean, think about this. Ewing was amazing. Patrick didn't say a whole lot to the media.
Right.
You know, Josh Hart is not even one of the three best Knicks, and Josh Hart's probably the one who gives you the... Jalen Brunson doesn't say much. Karl Anthony Towns just got ripped apart by Draymond Green and say anything. He said, you know, I subscribe to peace and love. You think that one of the Knicks would have said that back in the 90s? So I just think that the younger athlete is wired differently, predisposed to avoid controversy if they can. But I'll tell you, the more I think about this, I'm surprised that Lindor, and I'm not trying to blow it up here and you know, make his life tough, Lindor. What he said about Acuna, I find incredibly interesting, more interesting than what Nimmo said about the relationship with the Yankees in town. Like, you've got your captain saying, I'm not seeing the effort. And to me, that's more important than any perception of who's number one or who's number two in the city.
Well, but it's also about a player who is... right now, not an integral part.
That's not important to me. That could be important to you or others. I get it. That's not important. I'm talking about a culture.
Yeah.
Think about this, Al. We started the show about the expectations for the Mets and are we maybe taking things for granted, putting the cart before the horse, maybe before we should. And we've had that discussion. You guys missed it. Free Odyssey app. Just rewind. What I said was, I love the state. I love the owner. I love the GM. Everything that I said. I love Mendy. Okay. But if you're going to be in line with other dominant teams and have sustained success, the culture's got to be such the young guys who are trying to earn a spot can't show up for a month and half-ass it on the back diamonds down in Port St. Lucie.
Good point. What Lindor says with us is not important. What he says as it pertains to his teammates and holding them accountable, that is the thing that matters the most. BT and Sal on the Fan. We'll continue the conversation with you, calls. Let's get into the Hurley thing as well. We can either do it at 12:40 or 1 o'clock because I know we got a lot of calls here on the Mets stuff, but I do want to get to Hurley and his temperament, his attitude, because there is a lot there. 888-808-1019, BT and Sal on the Fan. A couple things here, a little housekeeping. Remember before we were talking about the money situation and loaning and all that mm-hmm. stuff? Oh, and I mentioned Moose as somebody who always paid, but just didn't make a priority to like get back to you. Like, let's say a pool entry, $20 or something. Moose is texting me that somebody's texting him. I heard you were ripping me. What's going on? I'm like, no, I wasn't ripping you. You think I was ripping Moose, or I was just saying what was going on with the pools back in the day where there it wasn't just me and I wasn't running all these pools, but some people would just say, you know, there's always people in the pool that's like, hey, man, where's your $20?
Sure. Okay. I don't think you were ripping them.
Yeah.
I don't think you were ripping them, but I still think it's sometimes you forget the power of this station. That you say it is a throwaway line,
yeah,
and it doesn't go away.
But don't you think it was misinterpreted by this person who was texting Moose?
Yes and no. Yeah. I mean, he did say he doesn't pay. And by I didn't say that. Moose Al did.
I
wasn't around at that point. Put it out there. You know, people who love the Moose and have always loved Moose and still love Moose.
Moose.
I know you do. But now there's some people who are walking around there saying Moose is tight with the buck,
no,
and that's because of you, and I don't think it's fair.
What I said was that Moose doesn't prioritize it. The way that we had said, like, you know, if I loaned you money and I would have to be, hey, BT, whatever.
Yeah.
Where's the cash?
I paid you the first, came in.
Right. So, or vice versa. If I owed you money, I am the type of person that, or even, forget about even owing money. If I'm in a pool or something like that, I want it off my plate. How much is it? Let me pay you now and get this over with. And leave me alone. You don't have to worry about it.
Yeah.
The bracket time is a big thing to
for sure.
Well, that was right. So that is all
well,
I was saying.
That's a good representation of you. But back to Moose.
Well, like, saying,
what you were saying that Moose is the opposite
well,
of you.
Well, I was saying if there were pools, let's say the March Madness thing, that, yeah, Moose would be somebody that maybe we'd have to circle back to and just be like, hey, Moose, you, he's like, yeah, man, I'll get it. I'll get it. Don't worry about it. I
and
got
would
it.
Would you have to circle back again?
Yeah,
I mean,
but,
so you're saying it again. You know, but he would.
No, hold on. But the key part is he would always pay. It's not that he's cheap. He's certainly not cheap. I don't know what it was. I just think he had so much going on. He didn't prioritize it. That's the bottom line. That's what I said before. I don't think it was ripping. Dove, you seem like you
what
want to
chime in.
You think
there,
I was
Dovey?
Ripping?
I think you were ripping him.
How was I ripping him?
You said out loud in front of everybody that he didn't pay back until he was chased down.
No. See, those are your words. Moose is not alone.
Which part of what I said was not what you said?
Moose is, I never said that people had to chase him down until he paid it back. I'm saying that he was somebody that, to get the pool fee, that was one of those guys that was maybe a lagger.
He's also the only name that you mentioned, so the spotlight unfortunately goes on Moose, who's a really good guy and probably deserves a little better than he got from his buddy today.
Here's why he was the only name that was mentioned. Because he's one that people would know. That's the whole point. If I bring up, you know, somebody's relative that's in
behind
the pool.
Behind the scenes.
Yeah,
I understand
nobody's
going
to care about that. The first name that came to my mind that people would know is Moose. He's been a known figure in this town for a long time.
He has been. He's a good guy. I like Moose. Going back to SNY.
NCAA bracket, he would fill out a bunch of them. He'd have Moose 1, Moose 2. The Malusis family, his parents are in there.
Kids jumped in, I'm sure.
This might have been before kids. This is going back years.
Yeah.
But I remember it was a thing, not just here at SNY, one of the guys that we used to work with too, busting chops about, hey, Moose, you know, you're in on this pool. Where's the
fee? So now it's two companies that you're calling them out on. It's getting worse. Is he doing the same thing at Channel
11? Let me shut up,
At Channel 11?
I am not ripping Moose. We love Moose. I was just bringing to light that maybe he was somebody that doesn't prioritize the immediacy of the...
Which is the nice way of saying you got to chase him down. I mean, we're not letting you off the hook here, buddy. And by the way, do you remember when me, you, and Moose and one of my buddies went to AC?
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
One of your buddies, what was his name, Josh from SNY?
Was it? No.
Yeah, dude.
Was it Josh?
Yeah, remember Josh from SNY?
That was my boy Frank. Of course I remember Josh.
Maybe there was another boy Frank there, but yeah, this was years ago. This is when you and Moose were on the wheelhouse.
100%.
Moose and I stayed in a room.
I think you had just gotten fired from WFX. Well, I remember having drinks with you late night and you were down.
Well, probably because I just got hired at SNY. Kind of simultaneously happened.
Yeah. I just met you there, really. But I was with Moose for a while.
And then I was working part-time there, but you were with Moose for a while. And I don't know what... Moose and I used to go there regularly. But
that's what I mean. Moose like, we'd love to play play cards. And
down.
I think he's like, well, he breaks out. I'm like, breaks out, whatever, it's good.
I do remember that. We hung out,
We did, you know. And
it's sad, dude, honestly, because Moose and I used to hang out a lot.
It's tough getting older.
That's the thing.
It's hard, man.
And we used to work
know.
At SNY every night together for years.
Yeah.
And, he has a family with three kids.
They're always playing hockey. I know
he's
up early.
Yeah.
They're hockey players like your nephew, Joey. You know what ice time is like in the morning.
And he's got a crazy schedule with his work
on
top of the three kids and the hockey.
Uh-huh.
And then I have my situation with my wife and my daughter. Like, it is just sad. And it's always like every time I see him, like, oh, man, miss you. Like, you got to hang out.
He's a good guy. I do like Moose. And just for the record, I have Moose's back with this situation here. Now, let's just get back to this one more second here. So I can see. Now, he texted you directly or somebody.
Yeah.
And what did it say?
He said, what the hell, man? I heard your. Here's the knucklehead.
What exactly did he
troublemaker
write?
Troublemaker is Steve in Howard Beach. Who here's the common contact here is because Steve used to train both Moose and I for an extended period. So we became friendly with him in a group, the three of us.
Gotcha.
So they still talk, just like I still talk with Steve, although less because he just gets on my nerves all the time. I can't even tolerate him.
Huh.
Much like I said about social media, I don't want to tolerate Steve. So now Steve is going to Moose saying, oh, your buddy's ripping you. And I can imagine the bullcrap that he's saying to Moose.
Okay, laid it on thick,
and
I'm
then,
sure. A little hijack.
Yeah,
what
then
Moose,
Moose
right
gets to me. I delete. You know, I'm a deleter. I'm a text.
Yeah, you are
I'm
deleter.
A text thread deleter. Let me pull it back up. Moose texts me. Where the hell is it? So Moose texted me exactly. He said, dude, Steve is texting me about you ripping me on the air.
That's what he said.
Which is that. Yeah, that's what he said.
So Steve started trying to start a little trouble here. But you got
to
understand this.
Damage control saying, I didn't rip you. This happens all the time, though.
All the time. Things get misrepresented. Yes. I don't know if this is a massive representation of what was being said.
Stop.
But
yeah.
Let me ask you this here, Sal. If you really cut down the nut, right, and cut the nut and get to the core of being a man and having responsibility.
Yes.
What are the things that... I think are probably most unacceptable for a man to be. Like a lack of loyalty, maybe a little slow to pick up the bill, alligator arms. Like you think about what you rank on your butt. Oh, you cheat. You know your friends.
Right.
Who's getting the first round? Who's hoping to get the last round? You know, who's never putting things together? Who's getting the concert tickets and you'll eventually pay them back? Who's doing the pulls? So, like, you know, that is.
But that's
I can see why it would bother Moose not having heard it, wanting to see exactly what somebody he thought was his friend would say on the air.
Understood. But all those things that you said, that is not Moose, except for the pool thing. That's the only thing. Moose would be the first to put in for a bill, all that. That's what I'm saying. He's not cheap. Certainly round of drinks. No issues there. I don't ever recall an issue with Moose and that.
So he was really out of character.
No, I think it's in character.
Oh, here
but,
he is.
But only as it pertains to, like, hey, put me in for the pool.
Uh-huh.
Give me four entries or whatever, like, community bet.
Yep.
There was this guy, Alex Halter, we'd work with at SNY.
He's dropping names now, everybody.
Well, if you ask Halter, I mean, he'd be probably a little harsher because he used to maybe foot the bill. So say Halter was the point man on these bets.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then Moose and I would join.
Yep.
And I would just want it off my slate. That's just my OCD.
50, whatever it is. Yeah, good. I'm in.
And then he would deal with. Now, I wasn't dealing with Moose.
Uh-huh.
I just heard from Halter.
Oh, so the whole company was talking about
it? No. I just heard from. See what I'm saying? I don't think it's a. Jeez.
Oh, man.
It's not a bad thing.
Can I confess?
Yes.
As quickly as I paid, that is a crisp $100 bill I gave you, and we're up to speed. Yeah. And
I did have to ask, but it was the first day, and I really wanted to make a radio bit of the whole thing, which is why I did it.
Yeah. And I had 103 fever yesterday, so I kind of forgot. I went to the ATM today to get the rest of the money. I knew it. I just forgot that I did it. Anyway, I as much as I am quick to pay back debts, quick to pick up a bill, quick to get the first round at the bar, definitely not cheap. There is one thing that I do that I actually have to call myself out. And it's actually, it's unacceptable, and it happens every year.
Why?
Because I don't like doing Venmo. So fantasy baseball.
Yep. See, here we go.
I have made this mistake. I'm going to have Moose's back a little bit with this. Now, the fee, and it's too much money to be as late as I am. It's a $550 entry fee at this point.
See? And you're making the guys chase you now.
You know, and for a while, you would bring checks. Like, because we've been in the league for 20 years. So, you know, every Saturday, we draft. Hey, my buddy Mike is probably hearing this laughing. He knows I'm always late with this, but I always pay up. All right, Mike, here's three, here's four. And then, like, once it went from checks to digital or cash back then, I just, like, I don't like paying people on Venmo. I just don't.
It's easy now, though.
I know it is, but I forget my passcode, and then I can't get back in. You know, and then at this point, does my wife really need to know how much the entry fee is? So I don't want her to send that, even though I don't really care.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, like, I get it.
But I got to jump through hoops to get it done, which I eventually do. But I have been tardy 3, 4, 5 years in a row on my fantasy baseball.
Now, it doesn't make you cheap.
No, not at all. The opposite.
So
I'm very not cheap. I'm very much not cheap.
So that's what I'm saying about Moose. Just wasn't then a priority to, you know,
he's not financially reliable, is what you're saying.
No, out in front of it. That's all I'm saying. Out in front of it.
Well, now, being out in front of it, you would pay before the brackets even came out. That's being out. Hey, in case we do a bracket this year, here's $20. Yeah. That's being out in front of it.
No, like here's
paying on time. He's just paying on time.
Oh, that is true.
All right, here we go.
Yeah, right. Here's my bracket. Here's the $20. But if you're also not in person.
Yeah, this Hoagie.
Hey, Moose, man. This is him, buddy. This is him.
No, this is not. This is. Dude, come on. Will you stop? No ripping. There's no ripping involved. BT and Sal. All the fails. Get back to the phones. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. Chris is in Bay Shore. What's up, Chris?
Yeah, hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
What's going on, Chris?
Nothing much. Listen, I just being independent here. Sal, I got to go with Moose on this one. It was a subtle rip, no question about it.
No, come on, it's not a rip at all. What are we talking about? No rip?
No, it was. It was.
How is it a rip if it's factually correct?
Well, no, but you aired it out. You know what I mean?
We're talking about loaning money here. I mean, and it wasn't even that with Moose. All I was saying was nobody likes having to chase somebody down or repeatedly ask somebody. And one person, a prominent person in my life that came to mind years ago, was Moose. That was it. It's not a bad thing.
No, it's absolutely a bad thing. But anyway. Guys, the James thing, I gotta go with BT on this one too. I think absolutely he's gonna be the guy. I mean, they're not gonna go out and get Wilson and Winston. It's, There's no way that's happening.
I know the door is still a little bit open. Thanks for the call there, Chris. If you missed it, it came up. Obviously, a big Mets day here. If you missed anything, free Odyssey app. We'll get to the Danny Hurley, some NCAA stuff coming up next hour as well. But, like, when you look at the possibility of the Giants adding to Jameis in the form of Rodgers, which I don't think is happening, Wilson, I give more of a chance than Rodgers. It just seems like, and I know he's making backup money, $4 million, so you can do it. I just don't know why you would do it. Why would you want two guys to get in the way of whomever you draft playing? It doesn't make any sense.
But it seems like that's what they want to do.
But have they said that? Or, I mean, it's been more intimated. Like,
it should be Russell Wilson and Rodgers are ruled out. That's mm-hmm. not. The reports are saying that they're both in play.
Yeah.
And by the way, if it's not Wilson or Rodgers, then who is it? Is it going to be Jameis and a... Why?
I think no, nothing. My lead just texted me and they're like, oh, he's talking about it. Yeah, he's late on the. So they heard it too. No, I think it's going to be Jameis. They came up with a boldface lie, boldface truth. It was the first question.
So you think they're going to draft a quarterback, but not with the third pick overall?
Well, I mean, I wouldn't draft Sanders 3. They better draft a quarterback prominently. I'm not talking about a fifth round flyer. It better be somebody who could be on, who will be on the field at some point this year. But I think Jameis starts week one. I think he plays for 6, 7, 8 weeks, and then you take the training wheels off and you throw the kid out there.
That's what I would do. I just don't see that they're going to do that, especially if they don't take a quarterback with the first, with the top pick, meaning if they trade up to number one or with the third pick.
But then what do they do? And even if you're right, I mean, what are you going to have Jameis Winston and Russell Wilson battle it out for the starter in camp? Is that what they're thinking?
No, I would think that if you're going to bring in Russell Wilson, he's going to be your starter and Jameis is the backup. We went over that yesterday as far as him, Jameis being backup money. BT and Sal on the fan, 888-808-1019. We'll continue with your calls when we come back. Also enter Dan Hurley into the conversation.